In January 1919 and for all of 1919, Prime Minister David Lloyd George had a considerable amount of information going across his desk. Information not seen by the general public. Generally, I suspect, known by the press. But the British Empire was one of his many concerns. And this is just a brief summary of some of the major things that were happening and he would have become aware of. In January 21st, 1919, the Sinn Féin members who'd been elected in the 1918 general election and who had said they would not take up their seats in the House of Commons in Parliament chose to declare an independent Irish Republic. And so for the first time, Dáil Éireann met in Mansion House, Dublin. At the same day, the Anglo-Irish War started. Two Royal Irish Constabulary men were killed in an ambush at Solohead Beg in Tipperary. Later that same year, Eamon de Valera, the leader of escaped from Lincoln Prison. In South Africa, 70,000 mainly black African miners went on strike at the Witwatersrand. Their strike was disciplined and organised, and the government threw police cordons around their compounds. The troops broke through the workers' barricades with bayonets fixed, killing 3 and wounding 40. Later, police and armed white civilians attacked a meeting of solidarity with the striking miners, killing 8 and wounding 80. Meanwhile, in Cape Town, the first South African Indian Conference was convened, and the Indians there resolved to agitate for full civil rights and to resort to civil resistance until those rights were granted. Meanwhile, on the 13th of April 1919, in Punjab, the Jallianwala Bagh Massacre, also known as the Amritsar Massacre, occurred. Unarmed civilians, had assembled for a peaceful protest to condemn the arrest and deportation of two national leaders, Satyapal and Saifuddin Kichlu, and also to honour the Sikh festival of Baisakhi. Acting Brigadier General Reginald Dyer, with his battalion of Indian Army and Gurkha troops, fired rifles into the crowd of unarmed Indian civilians. They were to kill between 300 and 1,000, and 1,000 were wounded, 14 of which were children. But this is the power of the press, because when Dyer returned to England, the press demanded a public collection for, as Rudyard Kipling described him, the hero of India. And he received £26,000, nearly £1 million in modern terms. China was the largest non-European participant in World War I. It fought with the Allies. And most people don't know that because so much of 1919 is secret history. China joined the war because Germany, at the siege of Tsingtao in 1914, had captured Shandong, the birthplace of Confucius. China was not allowed to become a combatant because Japan objected. So instead, they sent thousands of volunteers who repaired tanks, dug trenches, carried munitions at the front line. But when China turned up at the Versailles Treaty signing, they were told Shandong was being given to Japan. The delegation returned to Beijing, and the first student protests occurred on the 4th of May 1919. That May the 4th movement, an anti-imperialist cultural and political movement, was the beginning, has been argued, of communism as a cultural shift in China. Meanwhile, across the Caribbean, the war had resulted in longer working hours, no increase in wages, higher prices of goods, and poverty. The returning soldiers and merchant seamen, many of which had been forcefully repatriated after serving in World War I, were angry and disillusioned. This was a critical time in the rising demand for independence and the creation of the first trade unions and the first political parties. In Canada, June 21, 1919, Royal Northwest Mounted Police fired a volley of bullets into a crowd of unemployed war veterans, killing two, in what was known as the Bloody Saturday of the Winnipeg General Strike. David Lloyd George saw a continuing picture of a collapsing empire. Egypt, civil war. By 1922, Egypt was a freed country. Afghanistan, civil war. Ceylon, Australia, where returning soldiers attacked people they saw as communists. And there was much more. And across the empire, there was revolt and demonstrations. And across the empire, new legislations, an increasing level of extreme violence by the state, all with the agreement of Downing Street. So what David Lloyd George saw was a collapse of the British Empire, and the fact that those in the empire were not going to return to the previous world where London decided everything and money decided everything. And his fear was a shift towards socialism, but even bigger, a shift towards Bolshevism.